verses 20 through 30. Behold, I am going to send an angel before you to guard you along the way, and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Be on your guard before him, and obey his voice. Do not be rebellious toward him, for he will not pardon your transgression, since my name is in him. But if you will truly obey his voice, and do all that I say, then I will be an enemy to your enemies, and an adversary to your adversaries. For my angel will go before you and bring you into the land of the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will completely destroy them. You shall not worship their gods, nor serve them, nor go according to their deeds, but you shall utterly overthrow them and break their sacred pillars in pieces. But you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water. And I will remove sickness from your midst. There shall be no one miscarrying or barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. I will send my terror ahead of you and throw into confusion all the people among whom you come. And I will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. And I will send hornets ahead of you, and they may drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, and the Hittites before you. I will not drive them out before you in a single year, that the land may not become desolate, and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. I will drive them out before you little by little, until you become fruitful and take possession of the land. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for, thank you for Christ, that we are actually here, that you didn't destroy us with the sin of Adam. Father, we think of your word as we read it and the wonder that we have, that somehow you place value on us. We probably don't comprehend it as well as we should, Lord. We thank you for that value that you placed on us. We just ask that you would touch our hearts, that we would look to you, that we truly would thank you with understanding of the many things you've done for us. And as this passage speaks of the people of Israel, Lord, a promise to them. And Father, we look forward today to the message that you've sent before us this day and the man that you've prepared to send that message to us with. We'd ask that you touch his heart, that you give him the courage to stand before us and deliver that message as you've given it to him. Father, we thank you for the many blessings that we do enjoy. And we'd ask, Lord, that you'd allow us to be gracious and giving, and that we would do it willingly. We do thank you again, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen. Oh, that was great. Thank you, baby. Appreciate that. Appreciate that so very much. Reminds me, I do need a shave and a haircut, don't I? By the way, remember to pray for Pat Strasburger. He's recovering at home from a heart valve replacement. He got home Thursday, so pray for Pat. You know, I've always wanted you folks to know men who have touched and influenced my life, men who have at some point in the history, the years that I've lived, that have had an impact on me. And over the years that I've been here, I've wanted to kind of bring some of those men to you for different occasions. And there are three men that, outside of the men in our church, that I confide in. Sometimes pastors just need somebody outside the church to talk to complain to ask advice from, and it just helps to get a different perspective. And our guest speaker today, he's one of them. One of three that, outside of our church, men that I can go to and I can confide in, and friends of a lifetime are for life, for what happens in life. And our college students over here, you're making friends now that, Lord willing, you'll look back 40 years from now, if the Lord tarries, is coming, that are close to you. Closer than your high school friends. Closer than others. There are people that God brings into your life. And here's a man that listens. He advises me. He grounds me when he encourages me. I can say without explanation, I love him. You ought to love him too. Because I'm still here. Because he kept me in perspective at a time when I had lost perspective of ministry. And I'm here. I'm still here because of him. There's a phone call that I made, and he just put it all in divine perspective. I was looking on this plane, and he turned it to look this way. See, because pastors have feet of clay, and we get discouraged, and we need grounding sometimes. And this is a man who has done that for me. So, Brother Bill, come up and share with us what God's laid on your heart, buddy.
Love you, bro. I look to Bob like a father figure. Almost like a grandfather figure. I love Bob Townsend. Our hearts are knit on many different areas. But one is in serving Christ. You are a fortunate church. And I don't say this just because we're friends. I say it in spite of that. I want you to be reminded. There are many churches that would give their right arm to have a pastor like you have. Of course, there are many pastors that would give their right arm to have a church like what Bob has. Because in the short time I've been here, I've fallen in love with some of you. You are such a blessing. I want to share a word with you this morning that I hope will help launch this year to a different level than it could have been. We had a person at college, a professor, a leader. He used to say a little slogan all the time. Bob and I were talking yesterday and it came to mind. Good, better, best. Never let it rest till your good is better and your better best. Did you catch all that? I had to go to school for 5 years before I understood it. Good, better, best. Never let it rest till your good is better and your better best. We lose out in our Christian life because we are satisfied with that which is good, but not God's best. We, as Christians, too often do the minimal in our Christian life. And God wants to pour out more. Do you remember the little widow lady that was suffering? She was poor. She didn't know how things were going to meet. The land was in a famine. And the prophet of God said, go out and get pots and vessels, as many as you can, and bring them into the house. Now, I don't know what your idea would have been, but skeptic as I am, I would think, okay, you want me to go gather a bunch of pots? What in the world? And I'd have probably went to a neighbor or two and said, can I borrow a couple of bowls? But she had faith greater than that. She went and she gathered. When she came in, the prophet took the little pot that had a few drops of oil left in it and began to fill all the other pots up. And that sustained her and her son from there on. She was only limited by her pots. God wants to fill your pots. Don't bring a cup and saucer. Amen? In Exodus chapter 23, we pick up on a story. The men that were here yesterday, we talked about Exodus chapter 14, and we have to run back through the story of Exodus 14 to bring you up to here. You remember, the children of Israel were in the land of Egypt. They had been there about 430 years, and they had a common prayer that they had all the time, God, deliver us. You see, the children of Israel came to Egypt during famine. Joseph had become the second in charge in Egypt. His family came, and in the famine, all of that family came to live with Joseph. He took care of them, and some 70 of his family members, 430 years later, turned into about 2 million people. They didn't have TV. But they made a lot of bricks. And they had a lot of babies. And God blessed them. And Joseph died. And the next Pharaoh, the next king that came into existence, didn't know Joseph. He didn't have the relationship. He didn't have the history. And he began to look at these Jews and he said, oh my goodness, they outnumber us. They may revolt and come against us. We need to put them in their place. And they put taskmasters over them. And they became slaves and servants. And they began to pray for deliverance. God sent Moses. Moses went into Pharaoh and said, let my people go. You know the story. The last of the plagues, God sent the death angel. What a beautiful picture of God's redemption. Apply the blood on the doorposts and the lintels of the house. Sacrifice the lamb. That we're reminded as John the Baptist was down by the Jordan River and Jesus came walking by, made a proclamation, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The Jews didn't understand all of that at that point, but they knew God was at work. God delivered them. Through a series of events, all the Egyptians gave them their gold, their jewelry. They left. They were directed by God to a specific spot outside of Egypt, right between two mountains and the Red Sea. The Israelites began to gripe and complain, as they were so adept at doing, which is so common for most of y'all. As they stood there, they saw the Egyptian army coming at them. They began to cry out. God told Moses, "Hey, just listen to what I have to tell you. There's a plan. There's a purpose. Something's about to happen. Turn around, take that stick that's in your hand, put it out over the waters and watch. Just give me a chance to work, Moses. This is going to be okay." There's a lot of interesting lessons in that. The pillar of cloud moved from the front of them to the back of them. It became a darkness to the Egyptian army and a light to the Israelites. All night long, the east wind blew and the waters parted. They marched across on dry ground. The Israelites saw God in a way that no one else has ever seen God since. They went across, the waters came to, all the Egyptians died, and they saw that their God was so powerful that He could not only just deliver, but He could supernaturally deliver. They got to the wilderness and they began to realize things were going to be tough. It wasn't easy in the wilderness. Now, if you can imagine going camping. My family likes to go camping. We raised our kids going camping. We began to bring friends. I have four children. We'd go camping. Each one could bring a friend. Our little travel trailer got full real quick. Eight kids running around. We got tents, put kids outside in tents. Boy, that was a blessing. It gets crowded. Then it's time to eat, and you have to feed all those people. And you know what? Those kids get hungry at least three times a day. It's almost a non-ending process to feed. Of course, you know, teenagers never get full. They just get tired of chewing. Moses had 1.5 million people that he had to feed. He had the water he had to take care of. It was hard. It was difficult. They were journeying. God was leading them, but it was difficult. They went through that wilderness and things were tough. And God finally brought them to the Jordan River and said, "This is the land that I promised you." Moses sent the spies in. 10 came back with an evil report. 2 said, "Good. Yes, it's hard, but God can." Nothing else you leave with today, leave with that. Yes, it's hard, but God can. Yes, it's hard, but God will. But they said no. Can you imagine? These people who had prayed for all this time saw God do all of this, got right to the edge, and before they put their foot over in it, they backed up. Nah. Making bricks wasn't so bad. 40 years they wandered till all that generation died. They come back to the Jordan River. And something happens. Something happens that we as Christians take for granted far too often. The younger generation was given a second chance. But take note that the older generation didn't get a second chance. If you read that story, they tried to go in, it didn't work, and they had to run away. God doesn't always give you a second chance. There are times that God says, this is what I want you to do, and you say no, and God says, done. We so rely on the grace and mercy of God that we forget there's the justice of God. So in this story, they come to this point after all of this that they're ready to go into the land. They're ready to make progress. Now, the background to this is here. They were slaves in Egypt. They were delivered through the Red Sea. It's a beautiful picture of salvation. They began to grow, but they were infants and they had struggles and they experienced much defeat and anxiety. But now that they're coming to the Jordan River, they were coming to the promised land, not heaven, but spiritual maturity. They were ready to grow up to the next level. They were about to graduate, if you will, from high school and go on to college. They were ready to make that next big step. And God speaks to them. Now, wouldn't it be phenomenal if today, while we're sitting here, all of a sudden, through the cracks and through the doors, the smoke starts swirling in, and over the Lord's Supper table, the Spirit of God came and presented Himself and spoke. Pleasant Point, I have a message for you. That's what He did to them. You say, well, Bill, God doesn't speak to us that way anymore. You're wrong. It's not that God doesn't speak to us like that anymore. It's that you don't listen. Because you see, what you're holding in your lap is the very Word of God. And God speaks to you from that Word. And you choose whether or not you're going to listen or turn a deaf ear. I wear hearing aids now. I wear hearing aids now. My wife often accused me of having selective deafness. My son could say, hey, Dad, I'm going bird hunting in the morning. You want to go? Yes, sir. She'd say, honey, did you take out the trash? What? It helps my hearing because in my hearing loss, certain frequencies are bad. I can't hear higher pitches. So literally, I have a doctor's proof. I can't hear her because of those higher pitches. It really is true. So it magnifies the higher pitches so I can hear more. And you can turn them off. We're so systematic in the way we listen that we don't hear the higher pitches at times. We neglect the higher pitches. And we only listen to the lower roars. So this message from God comes in and He says, behold, verse 20, I send an angel before you. Look at verse 21. Beware of him. Obey his voice. Do not provoke him. For he will not pardon your transgression. For my name is in him. This isn't Gabriel. This isn't Michael. This is Jesus. How about that? They were told to listen to Jesus just like we're told to listen to Jesus. The last few words I shared yesterday was, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. This Word is Jesus Christ in our presence today. And we're to listen. We're to take heed. We're to pay attention, because He's going to lead us. You see, 2018 may not be that spectacular in whatever happens on the ranch. You may not have your bumper crop of calves this year. The economy may not soar and it may not tank. It may be that this year is just a year of stability in all the natural things. But that doesn't mean that spiritually you're not required to grow and go further. How dare you ignore the Word of God and sit still when He's calling you to go forward? He tells them three things. He says, first of all, I will protect you. You know, it's scary to step out and do the unknown. It can be frightening to take that leap of faith. But God says He'll protect them. Second of all, He says, I will position you. God is so good at manipulating our situations to get us to the spot that He wants us to be. I'm not a rancher. I don't claim to be a rancher. I always wanted to be a cowboy when I grew up. When I was 15, 16, 17, my dad bought a farm, 40 acres. We had our 10 cows. And we would have to give those cows their shots, and we'd have to look those cows over, and we'd spray the back of them to get all the flies off of them, and we'd have to get them all in the corral. You know, those heifers just weren't very cooperative at times. You could open the gate, and they could get right to that gate. I mean, their foot was almost in the gate. And then they would change their mind. And they'd take off and they'd go another direction. We had a couple of horses, and we'd try to round them back up. And I had a little Honda motorcycle, and I'd chase them around on that. And we'd finally get them in the corral. There was a time or two, I had this one bull, he hated that motorcycle, and he kept jumping the fence, and every time we'd get there, he'd be out in somebody else's pasture. We propagated the whole countryside, but our own herd. Dad finally decided we were going to get rid of that cow, that bull. So we backed the trailer up to the corral. We got all the cows in there, because that's the only way he'd get in the corral. We set him apart. We squeezed him over with a chute. He got right to the edge of the trailer and he wouldn't get in. And Dad pulled out the hot shot. Y'all use hot shots? They are awesome. Boop! He decided to get in the trailer. Imagine that. It was motivation. My wife and I, as we were dating, we were down at our farm. We had youth activities there. We played kick the can. Anybody ever play kick the can? Put a water hose, about 100-foot water hose, make a big circle, put a can in the middle of it. One or two people would be it. Everybody would go high, and as you'd find them and tag them, they'd have to go in the circle. But if anybody could run through the circle and kick the can out of the circle, everybody could go free. So somebody had to guard the circle a lot. Well, we were playing, and she was running around, and she wasn't being the kind of heifer that she needed to be, and I thought I'd straighten her out. So I grabbed the hot shot, and I started chasing around the yard with it. Those things are fun. Anybody ever been hit with a hot shot? Woo! Motivation. The chase turned. I got up close enough. She was fast. Got her right there. And I didn't realize how motivating that was. Obviously, it turned out okay 40 years later. I always slept with one eye open. But God uses things to motivate us to go into the next level. We as Christians get to the corral and we refuse to go in. We start balking back and we think, no, I don't want to go in there. And we don't even know why we don't want to go in there, because when we go in there, it's to our benefit. And whatever's going to happen in that corral, because you realize if you're going to take some cows to the cell barn and they're going to be slaughtered, those cows are going to die. But wait a minute, what are the purpose of those cows? The purpose of those cows are for you, the rancher. Our purpose is not for us. If God calls on us to lay our life down, it's for His glory. So whatever the reason He wants us to move from one area to another, it's for His glory and our benefit. So this angel is going to go before them. We need to listen to the angel. Are your ears in tune? He says, this angel will take you in the way to bring you to the place that I have prepared. Every one of us have an assignment. I was a school teacher for many years. Being in the classroom is not my strongest gift. I love to teach. I hate to grade papers. I hated to do homework. But you know, once I became a teacher, I like doing homework. So the way I did my homework assignments is not at the end of class would I say, okay, now this is going to be your homework. I would write their homework assignment on the board. So as soon as they walked into class, they could write their homework assignment down. They'd know what it is. This is what you need to go home and do. Here's your assignment. And what I tried to do in class was to give them all the assistance they needed that would prepare them to do their assignment. That was my goal as a teacher. God has an assignment for us, but God always gives you the assistance that you need to do the assignment that He gives you. So when He's telling them, I want you to go into this new land with these giants, with these people who are great and warriors, I'm going to go and I'll help you. I'll assist you in this assignment. He did not tell them to go into the land by themselves and do it on their own. God doesn't work that way. He doesn't just launch us out there and desert us. Oh no, He assists. So as He assigned them to conquer this land, He assisted them. He gave them an angel to instruct, to lead, if they would simply listen. He even told them, don't you provoke this angel, because this angel won't put up with it. It's amazing how often we put up with that which would be so easily fixed if we dealt with. I don't like confrontation. That may surprise you, but I don't. I don't like to have to go to somebody and say, you're doing wrong. That's not comfortable to me. I mean, I'd rather go over and talk to Gordon and tell him what a great guy he is. By the way, don't let me get out of here today without you signing my Bible. Okay? You know that he's famous. He's in a book. The history of the Sandhills is on Bob's table, and Gordon's picture's in there. That's right. You didn't know that, did you? I asked him, I said, sign my Bible, man. I've never known a famous person like that before. God wants us to listen to Him so that we can be where He wants us to be, so we can accomplish what He wants us to accomplish when He says it's time to do it. If we don't do it, then He's going to come to us and He's going to tell us, you better do it. I'm telling you to do it. I'm telling you to do it now. I'm telling you, you don't have any other options. If you want to be blessed, this is what you must do. That's what the angel was telling them. That's what God was telling them. You see, in our rebellion, we don't like that. We like the freedom to do what we want to do, and if we choose to do it, then fine. But the angel is to instruct us, and we're not to rebel against the angel. And he says, if we do obey the angel, then all of our enemies become his enemies. All of our adversaries become his adversary. He is now going to fight for us. I don't know about you, but I'd a lot rather him be on my side than him to oppose me. Now, here's something that the Lord really enlightened me on this last month or so. When we read on in there, he told them, I'm going to allow you to defeat the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Pezrites, the Canaanites, the Cellulites, all the ites. And part of the way I'm going to do that is I'm going to send hornets ahead of you to chase them out. Have you ever been stung by a hornet? I hadn't been stung by a hornet. I've been stung by a bumblebee. Pretty close. Right there. Came up out of a trash can like a June bug. Do y'all know what June bugs are? Sort of grips up on right there, and I thought, oh my goodness. And when I went to swat it off, it felt like somebody just punched me in the nose. I've got real bad allergies, especially to bee stings and stuff. Nobody was at home, so I was going two doors down to our neighbor before I could get two houses right there. Now, we lived in the city. I'm not talking about two of your houses, okay? I'd have died before I'd have got to your house. But two houses down, I couldn't see. My eyes were swollen shut. I'm having to pull it open to try to find my way to the door, to bang on the door. He sent hornets in front of them to run these people out. He promised, I will turn their backs to you. He wasn't talking about, I'm going to make them rude and they're just going to turn around and not look at you. No, they're going to take off running. But then he said something else. Not only will I assist you by running them out, that you're not going to have to do this all by yourself. This assignment of you taking over this new land and creating this new life, that you experience new blessings. I'm going to help you with, but. Now follow this. But I'm not going to do it all in one year. But little by little. I've read this story a lot of times. But I miss that. And I begin to think, wait a minute, Lord. I don't want to have to wait a year. I don't want to have to wait 18 months or 2 years. We want instant gratification. When I go into McDonald's and I go through the drive-thru, I'm not waiting 18 months to get that hamburger. I want it now. And the whole reason I go into, well, I don't really go to McDonald's. I go to Jack in the Box. Do y'all have those around here? Okay. Christians eat at Jack in the Box. Pagans eat at McDonald's. You go in because you want something now because you're too lazy or you don't have time to go home and make it yourself. See, God doesn't work that way. He said, I'll do it in my time. Now, my son-in-law is a tremendous cook, and he loves to use his smoker. And when he cooks a brisket, it takes him about 14 hours. Oh, but friend, when that comes out the next day, Big Mac ain't got nothing on that. It's good. But it takes time. But God not only told them, I won't do it all at once. He told them why. He said, if I do it too quickly, the land will be destroyed. Now, wait a minute. What do you mean, God? What had the Israelites been doing for 430 years? Making bricks. How many cities did they build? They weren't farmers and ranchers. I mean, they raised what they had, but they were limited. They were slaves. You see, I worked a ranch. 40 acres, 10 cows. But if I come to your ranch, I drove through some of y'all's ranches. You gave me a bunch of names. I don't remember them. We went to see Brother Bob. We'd go through one gate and he said, okay, this is somebody else's. He'd name somebody. We went through Roy's. Roy asked me, was that y'all came through there? I said, no, it wasn't us. Man, oh man. 40 acres is sort of like your parking lot. Man, I'm looking at hills and mountains. He said, yeah, about, you know, 20 miles that way and 170 miles over there is their place. And I couldn't run one of your places. I wouldn't know what to do unless you trained me. Well, see, God knew that if He put those children of Israel in that land and immediately turned it over to them, they couldn't handle it. And bless God, as you grow spiritually, if God gives you too much, you're not going to be able to handle it. So He's going to give it to you a little bit at a time. You're going to grow step by step. And then He went on to say something else. There's beasts. And in these beasts, you don't know how to handle them. And I begin to think, beast? Wow, what kind of beast? History shows us that this region was overrun with lions and bears. I don't know if they had tigers, but it made a great show. Lions and tigers and bears. They knew how to hunt these lions and bears. Matter of fact, you remember a little shepherd boy years later that was tending his father's sheep? And he had to kill the lion and he had to kill the bear because it prepared him to kill a giant. So they couldn't handle that. So God said, I'm going to give you this promise and I'll fulfill this promise a little bit by a little bit as you're ready. What do they call a group of lions? A big group. A what? Oh. So if they would have went into the land unprepared, then pride could have destroyed them. You see, I was told there's two things bigger at birth than any other time of their life. Wasps and preachers. Yeah. God wants us to be humble enough to listen and to follow as He assists us in our growth. God has an assignment for you. It's your goal to find out what that is. I would say that for 2018, that should be your major prayer issue. God, what is my assignment today? What is my assignment for this year? Am I writing a Texas history paper? Am I going to write on the Korean War? Am I going to write on this or on that? What is it you want me to do for you? How are you going to assist me? But for you to make the determination that I'm going to listen to my angel. And whatever my angel tells me to do, I'm going to follow it. And He's going to protect me. He's going to position me. And He's going to prepare me. Last thought. It's through our difficulties that He prepares us. It's through our difficulties that He prepares us. Don't look on the other side of the Jordan and think it's all going to be easy, because it's not. But it's the strain and the struggle that builds you. He'll prepare you through your difficulties. And sometimes it's your very disappointments that's going to be your positioning protection. That when you in life are wanting this, and you're praying for this specifically, and God says, no, I'm not letting you have that. And through some type of crisis, He takes that away from you. And in your crisis, you think God's not being fair and this hurts. But in reality, He's protecting you, because if you did that, you wouldn't be able to enjoy this in the right timing. I told Bob, and I'll finish with this. When I got out of college, I was teaching in a Christian school. I was there for about 4 years, and then our church had calamity. Disaster. Pastor went into immorality. Our church split. The school split. And through that, God launched me out of my home church. Actually, I got fired with about 5 other teachers that grew up in that church. They fired us. I told the guys yesterday a little bit of my story. Let me tell you this. Had that not happened, my tendency, I'd still be teaching in that school 40 years later. That's the way I was. Everywhere I went for the rest of my life. And after about the 4th or 5th place, I realized, I ain't staying there the rest of my life, it doesn't look like. I'm slow, but I'll catch on. Your calamity, your disaster, is what God's using to protect you, to move you to the next place where you're supposed to be. So He'll protect you, He'll position you, and He'll prepare you if you listen to your angel on a regular basis. God has an assignment for you. Father, may You help us today to be reminded it's not about us, it's all about You. Today, may we be committed to following You, to listening to You, to applying what You say and living in obedience. And Father, if there's someone here today that church is all external and Christianity is just a shirt that they put on, may today they realize that their individual faith is essential for relationship. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, nobody looking around, we're not here to embarrass anybody. But if you'd look in your heart and you say, Bill, I don't know that I have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I don't know that I have an assignment. I don't know that I have a relationship. But I am concerned about my eternal destiny. Pray for me. Would you just slip a hand up and put it down? Nobody else is looking. I just want to pray for you. I don't know that I'm spending eternity in heaven. But I am concerned. Just slip a hand up. If you're a believer and you're sitting here this morning, you say, you know what? I know God's leading me into new areas in my Christian walk, and I want to have the faith to step out and do what He says. But I'm struggling with that. Pray for me, Bill, that I will follow the angel's leading. I'll listen to what the Lord tells me. Would you slip a hand up? Anybody in that condition? God bless you. Several. You can put your hand down. God bless you. I know God's speaking to me. I know there's more to life than what I'm doing right now. And I want to be obedient. Pray for me. God bless you. Father, may You work in our hearts. And may we be receptive and obedient. In Jesus' name, amen.
Together, if you please. 329. Thank you, Brother Bill. 329.